As we settle into the sitting, I'm going to offer a few readings and instructions in the first several minutes, and then we'll have long periods of silence for this river practice. Now, likely many of you have read Hermann Hesse's novel, Siddhartha, about someone who lived at the time of the Buddha, who had the same name, and also a seeker, and a seeker into, who am I? Which is said to be the big question in all wisdom traditions. At the beginning of the story, the character Siddhartha has these ponderings. Slowly the thinker went on his way and asked himself what it is that you wanted to learn from teachings. What was it they could not teach you? It was the self. I wanted to rid myself of the self, to conquer it, but I could not. I could only fly from it, hide from it. Truly, nothing in the world has occupied my thoughts as much as the self. This riddle that I live, that I am one and am separated from and different from everybody else. And then he goes on to say, I was afraid of myself and I was fleeing from myself. I wished to destroy myself, to get away from myself, in order to find the unknown innermost, the nucleus of all things, life, the divine, the absolute. But by doing so, I lost myself along the way. I will no longer try to escape. I will no longer mutilate and destroy myself in order to find a secret behind the ruins. I will learn from myself to be my own pupil. I will learn from myself the secret of me. So that's how he begins the journey. I'll read more later where he lands. So now, opening to the image of a river, perhaps one that you know or you've seen pictures of, take a few moments to visualize or sense into it. And as I continue to speak, see if you can become the river. So you take in the river banks and feel into body. Body sitting or lying down, standing. And you take in the flow of the waters of the river. And feel into the flow of the breathing, the flow of the sensations. And I think this practice works well with the anchor of breath and body as a whole. So take a few moments to establish that. As we go through this practice, you can periodically refresh that anchor of breath and body as a whole, and the sense of the flow of sensations by recapturing or sensing into the image of the river. And it may already be apparent to you that the river has a great deal to teach us about flow and impermanence, or the changing nature of experience. Just notice that a little more. By now, you may have already noticed that you get caught, that the mind-heart leaves flow. The river has a great deal to teach us about getting caught, about the second characteristic of dukkha. So the river flows, but there's moments of eddies and whirlpools and brambles and beaver dams and flotsam and jetsam. These stuck places, so too we have our stuck places. But what does the river do? The river feels into them. And flows through. There's a real letting go. So we can see too how the river can be a lovely teacher of the second characteristic of dukkha, along with impermanence and flow. And we can also notice that the river can teach us about the not-self characteristic. So let's come back to the river image for a wee while. What makes the river the river? Open to your image. Is it the flowing waters? Is that river? But what about the banks of the river? And the riverbed, and all of the insects and the microbial life and the fish, do they not also make up what we think of as river? We can see when we look deeply that the river is more than the water. That the banks of the river are not all there is to river. You might say, I know, the source of the river, that's what makes river, river. And in our mind's eye, we go to the source of the river, perhaps up in the mountains. And when we look deeply, we see that that source is connected to deep aquifers under the earth, and that these aquifers are connected to many others. And so the source of the river, that too is not all there is to river. We notice the flowing of the river again, the whirlpools, the flotsam and jetsam. We can see that the river is changing. But none of these little moments of disturbance in the water constitutes all there is to the river. Just like our own moments of trouble and inner disturbance don't completely define us, they are not self. And when we look down the river to where the river meets the larger body of water, the lake, the ocean, where does the river stop being the river and become ocean? When we look deeply, we see that both river and ocean are dependent on each other, and that there's no real point at which there's not a river. It's hard to discern. And we might open to that within ourselves. Where does my body stop and yours begin, or the earth begin? My breath and the outer air. And you might say, I know how to define river. It's actually the water that falls on the river that makes it the river. And when we look deeply, we see the clouds above the river, the water falling. Swelling the river. But then later that water evaporates into clouds again. And so the clouds, the rainfall, they too are not all of what a river is. And so when we look deeply at the river, we can see that the river is more than any individual part. And it's always changing, and yet it's always there. And we can connect our bodies with the river again. The breath with the flowing of the water, the river banks with the sense of body at the touch points. And as we practice, the river image can inform us that we are more than any one constituent part, just like the river is more than the eddies and whirlpools. We too are more than any disturbances in the mind, in the body. These are parts of us, but they're not all of who we are. And so too, we can notice that none of these little experiences of the river, the eddies, the whirlpool, belong to the river. The river doesn't own them. And we don't own these experiences that arise. They are conditioned. They are conditioned arisings. And so with breath and body as a whole, noticing all the constituents of our experience, the river of experience, all as part of who we are in this moment, and respecting that each part is more than who we are. John O'Donohue said, I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. Can we engage with that as we practice? And so in the silence now, letting these images and instructions help us to practice and be in flow. And notice when we're not. And come back. appreciating the changing nature of the river and of our experiences of body and breath. River and our beings flowing. Noticing those moments when we leave flow and we get stuck, just like the flow of the waters slows down for a while with a log jam, with brambles. Feeling into the dukkha of that. And noticing how conditioned it is. Ah, yes, of course. These brambles in the mind, getting stuck on them. And they're not all of who I am. when the flow of experience gets stuck on a thought, emotion, sensations, we can look a little deeply at what we're sticking to. Are we sticking to a sense of self, a narrow, contracted sense of self? As if this is all of who I am. And can we remember the river and open and know deeply within body and breathing, not all of who I am, just a moment, just a little quagmire. Not all of who I am, not all of the river. Just as with the river, it can be hard to discern the multitude of causes and conditions that lead to a narrow place in the river where the water doesn't flow so well. We can notice this within ourselves, so many causes and conditions beyond comprehension. We can open to that conditionality and know that these little stuck points are not all of who we are. Just as the river doesn't own these stuck points, so too we don't own our stuck points. They're not ours. They're simply conditioned. They're not mine. And as we continue to practice with the river image and appreciating how the river banks are connected to the surrounding land, the aquifers one to another, the river to the ocean, the river to the rainfall, the clouds, we might notice a sense of connection to the earth, to the air within our own bodies. And as we come into the last few minutes of our practice, let's hear again from Siddhartha. So Siddhartha, in conversation with a questioner. "Yes, Siddhartha," he said, "is this what you mean, that the river is in all places at once, at its source, and where it flows into the sea, at the waterfall, at the ferry, at the rapids, in the ocean, in the mountains, everywhere at once? So for the river, there is only the present moment and not the shadow of the future?" "It is," Siddhartha said. "And once I learned this, I considered my life, and it too was a river. And the boy Siddhartha was separated from the man Siddhartha and the graybeard Siddhartha only by shadows, not by real things. Nothing was, nothing will be. Everything is. Everything has being and presence." But of all the water's secrets, he saw today only a single one that struck his soul. He saw that this water flowed and flowed. It was constantly flowing, and yet it was always there. It was always eternally the same, and yet new at every moment. Oh, to be able to grasp this, to understand this.